ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial, evangelistic service, family members. Many of you have been with me for nearly 500 days as we've gone through the most painful time in the history of America. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 300. That's 300 days since the day after Thanksgiving last year. We were reading three chapters a day in the regular Bible before that, almost 200 days. And so we changed things up. We have never done it this way and thought we would do it, thought we would try it. So thank you for being with us these past 300 days. And we give God all of the glory, praise, and honor for all of the wonderful milestones He allows us to reach. I'm just as amazed as you are when we reach a number like this. It is a credit to the faithfulness of God. And God will make you faithful. He wants you to be like Him. Where we read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. For as someone wisely said, history is His story. Make no mistake about it. It all belongs to God. Today, my beloved, we are reading 1 Samuel chapter 15. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble, but we are thankful that you are strong and mighty all of the time. You don't have any weak moments, and you don't have any down moments. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is very comforting. And Holy Father God, we pray now, and we thank you for your Holy Word and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Have continued mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are with our wicked, sinful nature, which is a very terrible thing. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Cleanse us and fit us to approach your throne of grace and to read your holy word from heaven. Fill us with your energy and your strength, your unction and your anointing, the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word, to understand it, to comprehend it, to obey it, to apply it to our lives, to love it more, to cherish it more, to respect it more, and to teach it to others in a discipleship way. And Lord, we know that it does not have to be in a small group or at a church building. It can be anywhere. Some of the greatest Bible discipleship training I received was from brothers in the church who were not in the church at the time. When we were in the Air Force, we would have Bible studies throughout the week. And Lord, they are some of the most memorable times of my young Christian life. I give you glory, praise, and honor. Thank you for the many people who listen to these podcasts. It's a similar situation. Same, just different way. We do not have to be together to meet with you now. You have wrought some things that has spread the gospel further and wider than ever before. And I thank you for giving us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to take advantage of them. Lord, if I had not moved to Dallas, Texas when I did, I would have missed this great opportunity. So thank you so much for blessing me to do that. And Lord, thank you for using me all of these years since in a powerful, mighty way all around the globe. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. And Holy Father God, save those who are lost as they hear the gospel today. By the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. I said the Word of God. What a privilege for each and every one of us. The Holy Bible. At 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is, over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people, and obey their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship thee, Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, Bring ye thither, or rather, then said Samuel, Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you so much for your holy word. And I thank you for giving me understanding and comprehension of it. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will help all of us to remember it, to meditate on it, and help all of us to learn the lesson of probably the most memorable, most powerful verses in the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Samuel, that disobedience is better than obedience is better than sacrifice, and rebelliousness and stubbornness is as witchcraft. And everything evil. Lord, help every person who claims to be a Christian today to learn this lesson, that they can shout and jump and raise their hands in church, but that does not matter if they're not obedient to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and those who love the Lord and who are faithful and obedient to the Lord, and to family members, friends and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead service family members. This is Daniel White III, the proud son of Daniel White Jr., who is now in heaven, president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode number 62. We're at Psalm 716. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. The rod which he lifted on high has smitten his own back. He shot an arrow upward, and it has returned upon his own head. He hurled a stone at another, and it has come down upon his own pate. Spurgeon continues, curses are like young chickens. They always come home to roost. And may I add, like a boomerang, they come back to hit you upside your own head when you're not watching. And even when you are, ashes always fly back in the face of him that throws them. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. Psalm 109:17. How often has this been the case in the histories of both ancient and modern times? Men have burned their own fingers when they were hoping to brand their neighbor. And if this does not happen now, it will hereafter. The Lord has caused dogs to lick the blood of Ahab in the midst of the vineyard of Naboth. And may I add, not to mention Jezebel. Sooner or later, the evil deeds of persecutors have always leaped back into their arms. And may I add, ladies and gentlemen, those who are persecuting you now, those who are bothering you now, trying to hinder you, trying to hurt you, trying to stop you, always remember, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And not only that, God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. If I may say, don't you worry about a thing. You just go on and do what God called you to do. And God will take care of them. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen many times. You don't have, and the less you say, the more God's going to deal with your enemies. So it will be in the last great day when Satan's fiery darts shall all be quivered in his own heart, and all his followers shall reap the harvest which they themselves have sown, shall we pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive your holy word. Have it to, as one older preacher used to use this word, germinate in our hearts and grow and be all that you want it to be. Help us to walk with it throughout the day. Help us to remember it. For we all have enemies. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as always, in the standing between the living and the dead service, as you know, God led me to do with you what I did with my family for over 33 years. And this is the main reason why our family is still together. And I have no worries whatsoever that we will ever divorce or separate, because of the foundation that has been laid. From reading this passage, which I call the family passage of Holy Scripture, or the family verses. And I believe that if any family obeys these verses, and everybody obeys their part and does their part, and when they get out of line, when they get rebuked or chastised, they humble themselves and respond well, you should have peace and order and decency in your home and productivity. Now, I mean that. We're only reading one verse today, but let me just kind of stay a little while on productivity. Your family is not made for you just to sit on your butts in the den and watch television all day and play games on your phone and your device and communicate with devilish people on the outside, and you don't communicate with each other. People, that's not what the family should be. Productive. Everybody ought to be pursuing something as a family, particularly in this day and time. Every family ought to have a business. All children ought to be in school according to their age, preferably homeschooled all the way through college, like my wife and I did it. No, a child should not, a 16-year-old child ought not to be given a missile that he can drive it up to 120 miles an hour at 16. That's insane. Do not give your, I don't care if you like it or not, don't let your children have their license at 16. That's dumb. That's very dumb. Where are they going? Anyway, they need to be home with you. And you need to be home with them.
Well, I got to work, or I got to keep my lifestyle up.
No, you don't. Just quit that mess and live more simply. Live more modestly. Drive more modestly. Dress more modestly.
Well, my friend's going to talk about me, and I'm not keeping up with the Joneses, and I'm not living in the big fine house on Pork Chop Hill.
God may let you do that in the future, but right now you got other responsibilities. And your family ought to be productive. Your children ought to be productive in school and moving forward. At home, the family ought to have some kind of business, even if the husband is working a job. That's fine. Why, the wife and the mother ought to stay home and stay with her children. If you're not interested in staying home with your children, don't get married and have children and then abandon them to devils you don't even know. Talking about a background check, my foot. They don't do anything with that. That doesn't mean anything. It still does not tell you what kind of devil is in them. And they molest your children and drop your children. Even well-meaning people will do that. Leave your children there in the diaper, stinking diaper, almost to the time you come, then they change it. And give you the baby, the child. You don't love your children. I said this the other day, people. I don't care if you like it. I know it's the American way, and I don't give a damn about the American way. I care less. It's not God's way. And what's wrong with the church today is we think the American way is God's way. It is not. And we hook up and connect to the world and to the government, local government, and everything, and fit in. The pastors want to fit in so bad with the world. We ought to be anti-world. Other than trying to reach the world with the gospel. The American way, my foot. And that's what you want to perpetuate after the plague, you think. But there may not be an after the plague, because God may be through with America. Because you have made America into an idol. Now, and then you don't want to let other people who need some help. They need some help badly, and you don't want to let them in. You, a certain kind of folks you let in. Because America is your idol. No. God's way is for the mother to breastfeed her children and to be there with her children until they're grown. Yes, they need you. Believe that. Believe that. And if you're not willing to do that, then don't have children, leaving them with somebody else. I said it the other day, and I'm saying it again. You people say you love your children. You love yourself. See, the American way says, yes, we have cradle to the grave to care for your children. This is a big-time policy. We try to get your children as soon as possible because we want you out there working. We want you to be free of your children. And we'll take care of your children and turn them into the devils and demons we want. And you say you love your children. No, you love your freedom. You love your whoring around and whoremongering around on a job, trying to be cute even though you have three children and married. You like the comments and the looks. You like going out to your little lunches with whoever. Uh-huh. You really don't, you're supposed to be a Christian. You really plan, you don't plan on doing anything, but you know, you're kind of halfway open because you're not that excited about your old man anymore of 3 or 4 years. So you love your career more than you love God. You love your career more than you love your husband and your children. That's the American way for you, baby. Yeah, and then when they get grown and you don't know them, you're crying and boo-hooing because they're leaving and they barely want to say bye. You know why? Because they'll be saying bye to a stranger. Now, I told you all this before, and I'm going to say it again. My oldest two daughters, who are sweet people, they almost walked out the door without saying bye to their mother. But because she wanted to apologize to me and them, they had a decent parting. Now listen to me. When your grown children don't even want to say bye, and they're leaving and departing and to start their lives, and I did have one child who, and I'm not going to say the person's name, but child's name, the child is fine with me. He said bye to me, hugged my neck and everything. But when you don't rise to the occasion, you're never there for your children. They don't know you. You don't know them. And there are misgivings. The things that you did not do for them, which they knew instinctively you should have done, and you did not rise to the occasion. They listen to me. That's hard to overcome. When they saw how your husband had to make you hug them when they were little children and say, I love you. When you intentionally did not feed them, when they saw your husband tell you, make sure these children eat 3 times a day. While he's gone for the day. And you intentionally did not feed them because you know he loves his children and you're trying to get back at him and you'll play a game like that. That's almost unforgivable. And as time goes on, once the children leave, they may find it in their hearts to forgive such evil. Not to mention the evil things you did to the children while the husband was gone. Neglecting them, not changing them, and all that kind of stuff. Not wanting to bathe them and all of that. You're going to pay the price, sister girl. And some of you husbands are going to pay the price too. Some of you fathers for letting her do that foolishness. That's right. I said letting her do it. I hope that you can see my teeth. I'm gritting my teeth like I'm angry at you, husband, for letting her do that to the children. I didn't let my wife do that. She tried to do it. She did it. And I dealt with her about it. And I put a stop to it and made her do what she needed to do. That's a fact. Because, see, there's no need for you to be here if you're not going to do what I tell you for these children. It's all right to be mad. You're going to be mad at me, that's fine. But you're not going to neglect these children. Because you want to be footloose and fancy free. Once you have a baby, you're not footloose and fancy free, baby. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I'm just going to say a couple of things. Number one, love does not mean letting your wife have her way, like the sweet evangelical Baptist charismatic church has taught for years, where if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody too happy. I say to hell with that, into the flames of hell with that. No, mama needs to do her job. Wifey needs to do her job. Life is not about her just getting rewards and dates and new rings and new clothes, and she's put on a pedestal and everybody else can be wrong and rebuked except her. And that's what you all have done. And you have belittled men to nothing. Many women in the church, watch this, they have the same philosophy as Oprah and Gail, and I don't think Gail really has this philosophy. I think she has more respect for men. Then Oprah's philosophy, she told Stephen Graham that if you don't like Gail being around and so forth and so on as my girlfriend, then you won't last, and he would not have lasted. That's what she said. And you know, Gail kind of go along with Oprah's foolishness. And then Oprah made a statement along the lines, husbands come and go, boyfriends come and go, but girlfriends are forever. And you know, Gail looked at her, And she don't have a man. And she would like to have a man. See. But you know, there are many people in the church, many women in the church who have that philosophy. Men can come and go. No, that's a demonic philosophy. God made man, and man is important. Men matter. Doggone it. In marriage and in family and in society. And whether you like it or not, they matter and they're important. And I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm already built up in the Lord. I understand my authority. My wife knows I understand my authority. My children know that I understand my authority. It doesn't matter to me whether they get mad, glad, or sad. I can care less. I'm going to do what the Lord needs me to do. In fact, the reason why God, one of the main reasons why God has blessed my life so much beyond measure, not because I'm a great man or a good man, but because I have never hearkened to the voice of my mother, I have never hearkened to the voice of my wife, and I don't even hearken to the voice of my daughters, or my sons for that matter. See, what I'm saying is my family, which they have a pull on men, of course, and especially wives. The reason why we're in this mess today is because Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife. You understand me? And you need to hearken to God, man. What did God say? You understand me? What did God say to you? You do what God tells you to do from his word and what God leads you to do. If God is not leading you to let your 17-year-old daughter go on a trip with some friends down to Aruba, then brother, she's not going. And if you have a problem, I'll come and help you. What?
Have you lost your righteous mind? You're not going to a Aruba at 17 years old for a graduation or whatever. No, you're not gone yet. You're not out of my house yet. See. I give you permission, my brother, to say hell no. No, God may not give you permission to say that, and your wife may not give you permission to say that, but you don't need her permission. Some of the old-fashioned stuff that the old parents used to say, and they look at you crazy like you lost your righteous mind. Negro, are you crazy? Who do you think you're dealing with here? Well, all my friends, I don't give a rat's ass whether or not your friends are doing it. I'm not responsible for them. I give you permission to say a few things to get the point across. Because some of these devils don't understand plain English. I'm telling you that right now. Okay, people, y'all getting me riled up here, so let me go. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Now here, you are married to a wife. You got four little children. She wants to go on a cruise with her girlfriends. You know what the answer is, sir? Hell to the no. Now, God may not give you that permission. I give you permission. Now, you're going to stay here behind here and help me raise these children. That's what we're going to do. And that's what you're going to do. And you tell your girlfriend that. And give her the privilege to go back to her girlfriend at the next little coffee talk. And say, girl, listen, my husband's crazy. He's not going to let me go. Y'all go on down to Bahamas and see the big, tall, black men with muscles. Go on that cruise, girls. Y'all go. Y'all single anyway. And you're divorced, Marie. You're divorced. So... And you know, maybe you know, whatever. I can't do that. What? He won't let you go? No, he's not gonna let me do that. So you know, and by your doing that, husband, you're letting them know, those women know how a husband loves a woman. Yeah, that's love too. That's love too. Do you hear me? That's love too, man. That's love too. No, you ain't going on no cruise down the Bahamas. Because see those single women and divorced women who are going on the trip, and men who, women who dominate their little baby husband, little husbands. And they gonna come on. They gonna have them come down on her. They gonna test her. She has never done anything like that. She got married as a virgin, and they're going to test her and see how she looks at those Bahamian men, those men of the Bahamas. Yeah, see that? Look at this. Look at that girl. Look at that. Look at that. Tall, dark, and handsome. He's a tall glass of water, isn't he, baby? And then she starts grinning, and you're in trouble. But you want to try to appear to be all not jealous and all that foolishness and you know, a free thinker, a feminist and all of that, that your wife can go on in the Bahamas with some single women and divorced women and some whores. And they want to make her a whore because they hunt for the precious life, son. Don't you let them do that. And she wants you to keep the children all weekend, and she gives you a bunch of movies to watch and give you some microwave dinners. You got to be kidding me. I got to go on. I got to go. Because y'all going to get me angry. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Love your wife. Do you love yourself? Yes. Do you let yourself do everything you want to do? No. I exercise this morning. It's 7:23 right now. I exercise in the 6 o'clock hour. Did I want to do that? No. Mm-mm. There are things that you just have to do. And things you can't do. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. When you tell her what the deal is, she shows respect for you. And she does it.
she obeys. Always remember the verses, some of the most powerful verses in the Bible, in the Old Testament, for sure. Life-changing verses. Samuel told Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. Rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. And you tell your wife that when she wants to rebel and shake her head and blow at you and have a nasty attitude and won't do what you say and causing problems in the marriage and in the family. And by the way, let me just say this to you, for you people who have believed a lie. I believe that in marriages, sad, pitiful marriages today, that the women cause more of the problems than the men. The women are good liars and try to make it seem like the men have caused the problems. But I believe with all my heart that women have caused more problems in the marriage than men in our modern times. I do. Now I have to bid you farewell because I have to preach in about a half an hour. So let's pray. Fathers, another thing that we have done down through the years. Down to almost 500 days, at least over a year. Let's pray for other people and not just we ourselves. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving, in the world, in this country, in our communities, in our families, in our churches, in our personal lives. Lord God in heaven, have mercy and grace upon those of us who claim to be Christians, and please forgive us of our wicked sins of breaking the great commandment and the great commission, and help us to repent. And Lord, help us who claim to be Christians to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent, and to give back to you our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people who are in the ministry of government, from the President of the United States on down and around the world. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray that you will save those who are lost in government, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls, and cast the demons of hell out of their lives, and fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit to do right according to your holy word. Help them to see the handwriting on the wall. And Lord, we pray for all persecuted Christians in this country and around the globe. Lord, we pray that you will protect them and provide for them and deliver them and give them your grace in their trying hours and in their dying hours, if necessary, Lord, according to your will. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray now, Lord, for indeed all people who are suffering and hurting from the coronavirus plague, as far as losing family members. We pray, Lord, for all families, millions of individuals who are hurting today, some who lost family members, multiple family members last year. We pray that you would comfort them and give them your grace and your strength to get through. We pray for some by name, as we've done, Lord, for almost 500 days by your grace. We pray for the family and friends of Texas DJ Joel Tanguma, for the family and friends of Texas police officer Sean Waters, for the family and friends of Pennsylvania student Neil Patel. We pray for the family and friends of Texas teacher Lisa Creasy. We pray for the family and friends of California restaurant owner Eduardo Lepe. And now, Lord, we pray for all people who have sent in prayer requests Down through the years, thousands of folks, we give you the glory, praise, and honor to pray for each and every one of them, and giving us the privilege and grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray for each and one of them multiple times. And we thank you for the many answers to prayer down through the years. And we pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision. Blessings upon all of the people who we have on our list. And we pray for a few by name who are listed today. A new prayer request. We pray for Vicky. Please bless Bill on his birthday. We pray for Spencer. Please bless his mother with success, guidance, and protection in her small business. We pray for Rodwell. Help him to please you by working in the field you want him to work in. We pray for Susan. Please have no weapon formed against her to prosper, and for every tongue that rises against her to be convicted. We pray also, Lord, for people who have gotten saved, gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. And we pray for the thousands of folks who have done that. Help them all to stand strong in the faith and to grow in the faith. And we pray for a few by name. Today we pray for Zach, Joe, Daisy, Razak, and Victor. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the people who have recommitted their lives to you. And we pray, Lord, for Valerie, Stephen, Pearl, Hansel, and Linda. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Beloved, I'll see you next time. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son, "to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins, because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed." Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved.
For whosoever, whosoever, that, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.